to bind their hearts to ours in love. The goal of Christian discipline. This week, we're focusing on wise words for families. For Probe, I'm Larry Viverka, and I want to particularly welcome as conversation partners this week, Dave Thomas, the Dean of the School of Theology, and Aline Bauer, who is a guest lecturer in our School of Theology. Welcome to Probe.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
The discipline of children. Not always do things go the way we wish, and perhaps perhaps there is some wonderful opportunities in misbehavior and mistakes for a good learning to take place. But how we go about dealing with those problems has a great deal of impact upon shaping the spirit and the will and the character of our children. There's a great deal being discovered about the role of fathers in shaping character in children, particularly in the area of relationship to authority. How can we discipline our children in such a way that their love grows deeper and the bonds of intimacy are somehow strengthened and our children's respect for us grows stronger as well? I'm interested in what kind of insights you folks may have to help us accomplish those ends.
I wonder how often parents really think ahead of time about how I'm going to discipline, rather than it just being a knee-jerk reaction when something goes wrong. And I think it would be interesting, and I don't know that we have the time, and to look at see how we were disciplined as children, and then how much of that has carried over into our own children's lives, how we have responded to them. But I think one needs to very carefully have a plan for discipline, because usually if it's a reaction, it will be more detrimental than positive for the parent and the child.
Well, I found along the way that there were a couple of things that were very helpful to me. One of the first was that you should never do anything in anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the sense of that pretty quickly, because I remember one time when I was disciplined or punished in anger. And that's the one time, that is a time where I thought, I mean, it rankled my soul as a young boy, because I felt I'd been treated unfairly. I didn't harbor animosity, and it hasn't done any permanent damage, but it does linger in my mind as an event that was untoward. The other thing that's very helpful is to draw a distinction between punishment and discipline. And I think that the idea of punishing children is a wrong-headed idea. Punishment I define as the exacting of some, not just corrective action, but attaching to that corrective action some penalty. That you little rascal, not only did you not do what was right, now in order to fix this, you have to make amends for your wrong, and I'm going to tack on some embarrassing or painful addendum, mm-hmm. a penalty that you're going to have to pay. And that, I think when children are punished, discipline, I think, is more a corrective action, trying to figure out how do we correct what is wrong and look to the future in such a way that it doesn't happen again.
Well, Dave, would you see a spanking as discipline or punishment, or depending on how it's administered? What?
Well, you know, you asked a hard question about spanking. That's a controversial subject,
very.
And I don't mind talking to it, actually. That I think there are some times when a spanking can be used very judiciously to get a child's attention, but not as a means of punishment,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
That when you start a beating on somebody, you're basically saying all else has failed. You know, and I think that's even true between adults. You see two men having a fist fight, it means that all else has failed, mm-hmm. and so now we're going to settle this by brute force. But I do think there are some occasions when a child is so out of control or so belligerent that some physical experience will get their attention.
Well, yeah, but certainly restraint, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, I agree, Dave. I think for me the real focus in discipline is to provide a corrective, not punishment. And mm-hmm. for me the corrective is how the really challenging question is, how do I help this child to make it right?
Mm-hmm.
How do I help this child restore whatever was done incorrectly and do it correctly? How do I help this child recover a sense of value and worth? Punishment to me is so fraught with the pain, the hurt, the
fear.
Destruction of mm-hmm. of the sense of worth or value, whereas the emphasis upon restitution or restoration or making it right, correcting the problem, is where I need to put my mental and physical energies in working with that child.
And I remember the first time that my mother took me to go and apologize for something I had done wrong. It was an occasion that still lingers in my memory as a marvelous learning experience, but at the same time a very trying one. To have to apologize to someone.
Well, but in that process, it really comes home
to
what one has done. And that in itself is not a punishment. It's certainly a consequence of the behavior, but it has a building and restorative connotation.
And it seems to me that discipline does not take the responsibility for the misdeed away from the child.
No.
It's you're the one who did it, so now how are we going to fix it? And you're the one that has to make amends.
Well, and I think the other thing I would add to discipline is consistency, because, if you treat an issue one way one time and then another way another time, it can become very confusing mm-hmm. For the child.
I've done a lot of work with Matthew 18 and see the process beginning with our responsibility as parents or Christian leaders to confront. Mm-hmm. We must take the initiative to go to the child, but the conditions under which we do that, I think, are very clearly laid out and modeled by Jesus in his dealing with his 12 kids who were behaving somewhat prematurely. He takes the initiative to confront, but what he does it very carefully, not in a public place, not in front of other people. I think we really have to protect our children's sense of value and worth in the sense that we don't embarrass them in front of other people, of other family members. If they're misbehaving, we move them out of the public eye or view and clearly confront the behavior, but do so in a way that we're not going to put them on the defensive or get the focus in the wrong place. Another thing that was very important in Matthew 18 is that we talk about the problem. But we do so in ways that it's non-judgmental, non-condemning, non-accusatory, non-blaming. In his book on parent effectiveness training, Thomas Gordon lays out a process of simply making an observation statement. And I think Jesus did that with his disciples. I notice that you're doing this. You fell behind on the road today. What's up? What's happening? And invite a conversation in a way that allows you to talk about the problem, not in defensive terms.
So it makes it safe to lay out what the problem is.
Yeah.
My boy, you have to have control of your own mind and emotions as a parent.
Well, sometimes we have to take a time out to let our own feelings come down.
Parental time out.
Where that can happen. But see, it's in, and even the time out is a great concept because in that time out, we recognize that we have an ally or someone working with us whose job it is to convince and convict of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I try to do the Spirit's job and make, you know, the child or the person out to be this bad person because of what they've done, I botch it. And then they have to protect themselves against my negation of them. But that's the Spirit's job. And if I create that moment of silence or that time out, whatever, it allows the Spirit to do his work, and he does it far more effectively than any one of us can, because that's what his work is. And then the task is, once the understanding is there of what the behavior is to then begin to work on what is the restitution process to make this right. My experience when I do that well is that my kids just almost glom themselves to me and want to be with me. And it's like I've taken something very special to do with them, and then they just shadow me and stay very close to me. The result then is what I think discipline is all about, is to bind their hearts to ours in love so that their appreciation, their respect for us has grown more deeply as a result of the action that we've taken with them. We've actually moved in to work on the problem. Well, it's good for us to, I think, look at Jesus and how he worked, and certainly the scriptural guidelines for disciplining that take very seriously the well-being and welfare of children, letting aside this need to hurt or harm or punish and to nurture and encourage their growth and development in the Lord and in right, to make willing followers of them who, as disciples, choose to follow the right because it's their choice. And to do everything in our power to create and encourage and help that to happen. I want to thank my conversation partners, Aline Bauer and Dave Thomas. I want to thank Susan Michael for her work in engineering our program for Probe. I'm Larry Beaver.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.